see y'all. Good to see you. Good to see you. Happy Sunday, and God bless you. Who's excited to be at church today? Come on, make it loud. Give Jesus some praise. Come on, man. Hallelujah. I'm excited as well. I want to welcome everybody to The Rock Church. My name is Travis Gibson, if I haven't had the chance to meet you. And I want to say hello to all of our campuses. If you're just joining or just walking into your room or just coming online, we are one church across multiple locations. If you didn't know that, we meet in 6 physical locations. We have 5 campuses in San Diego. We have 1 in Oahu. It's a rough one to visit if you ever had to visit someone. It's in Oahu. It's great. And then everybody online. And so let's just greet one another. Say hello to your friends and family. San Marcos, El Cajon, City Heights, Chula Vista, right here in the room in Point Loma and Oahu. We got a great day in store for you. Couple things I wanted to mention. One, today is special because every 3rd Sunday of the month is Baptism Sunday. And today, I think we have something like 70 or 80 people that are getting water baptized, going public with their faith. Come on, man. That's amazing. That's amazing. And who knows, by the end of the message, you may be one of those people too that makes that decision because you've been waiting for the right time and the weather is 75 degrees and you hear The Rock Church and it's just good. Amen, amen. The Spirit is moving. One last thing and then we'll get into the scriptures. We have a couple jobs that we're hiring for here at the church and in our academy. And if you have ever thought about, you know, hey, what jobs are available? We do have some available. Go to our website at sdrock.com and in the search tab, search jobs or scroll to the bottom. Right there is our job openings. We have a couple for the academy teachers. We have some for the church. And we have one specifically that I wanted to highlight for our Just One donor development. And we are on mission to create a culture of evangelism as a church. We love discipleship and we love evangelism. In fact, the first step in discipleship is evangelism, to go reach people who are far from God. And we want that not to just be a pastor thing or a preacher thing, but a church thing, that we would equip the saints to do that work of the ministry as well. This position is gonna help rally the finances to get behind this and create a movement of evangelism. So if you're interested in that, go to our website, sdrock.com/jobs. You can search it or it's the bottom of the page. Amen? Amen. Okay, we are in our series. We started off last week in a brand new message series on a book of the Bible. In fact, if you maybe been around for the last few years, every now and then we do a survey and we ask you, hey, when we preach, is there something that you'd like us to preach from the Word of God? And the last survey we did, number one was a book of the Bible. Not just the book called the Bible, but in there are 66 books. And we'd love for the church to go through one. And so we've picked the Gospel according to Mark. Pastor Miles kicked it off last week. I thought he did a great job. Didn't he do a good job? Man, it was awesome. I was blessed by it. And he did one verse. He said, Travis, I'm gonna do Mark chapter 1:1. I was like, you do you, Pastor. That sounds like an assignment from the Lord. He was trying to give me verse 2, and I'm like, I need more than just a verse. I need a little bit more. So I got 8 verses today, but a little bit on the Gospel of Mark. There are 4 gospel accounts, historical accounts of really telling about the life and the ministry and the work of Jesus Christ: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark was written by a man. Anybody know the name of who wrote Mark? Mark. That's right. Come on, somebody. Mark. Yeah, it's not a pop quiz. It's Mark. Really, John Mark, but Mark wrote the book. He wasn't one of the 12 disciples, but he was very close to the church. He's very close to that group. And so Mark writes it, but he's writing it from the eyewitness testimony of Peter. We all know Peter, right? Peter's there and cuts the ear off the soldier when they're in the garden when Jesus is getting arrested. He's called the Rock and preaches the first sermon after Jesus goes to heaven. But Mark comes and goes, Peter, tell me about Jesus. And this is the account according to Mark. Mark is the shortest, it is the fastest, it is the most urgent of all the gospels. And so Mark just goes, you know, I love how the other gospels, Matthew and Luke and John, are kind of talk about baby Jesus. Let's skip baby Jesus. I want to get to the ministry. And so Mark just jumps right away in chapter 1 with Jesus is the Messiah and here's what he came to do. And that's what we're picking up today. If you got your word with you, why don't you turn there to Mark chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. Matter of fact, we've been trying to get you to bring your Bibles to church. How many brought their Bible to church today? Hold it up for me, hold it up for me. Come on, look around at the Bibles at church today. All of the campuses, hold it up. Yeah, Chula Vista's got some Bibles, Oahu's got some Bibles. Or get the Bible on your phone. There is a free Bible app that is awesome, and you can highlight it in new reading plans. It's great. Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 1. If you're there, somebody shout, got it. Amen. Here we go. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair. Anybody have a jacket of camel's hair today at church? Any camel's hair scarves? No, nobody? Okay, no big deal. We'll keep going. He had camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. This is a strange dude. Bugs and honey, come on, man. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. Matter of fact, in Jewish culture, the master of the house wouldn't even untie his own sandals. That was reserved for a slave. And so John says, there's one that's coming who's greater than me. I'm not even worthy for the slave role. He's that great. He's that great. I baptize you with what? Water. But he will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit. I want you to come back next week because Pastor Miles is going to unpack that. What does that mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? And what is baptized with water? And how does that all fit together? Come back next week. Let me pray for us and we'll jump in a little bit deeper today. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for Mark chapter 1, unpacking the story today. Holy Spirit, we invite you into our lives. We yield to your way in our hearts. Would you speak through me, empower me, fill me to get this gospel to your church, make them all and make us all more like Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. I have a certain method of preparation for Sunday, and this is not, I think, new for some people. I've shared a little bit about how I get ready for Sunday, but on Friday, that's kind of when my preparation begins. Anybody have like a method of how you get ready? I just kind of like, there's not a tradition, but I got this, then I do that. I have one for Sunday, and it starts on Friday. Friday, I get my hair cut early in the morning after I drop my kids off from school. And so my hair is cut, so I feel fresh, and I feel fast. I feel fast. I feel light up here on stage. And so I get that done on Friday. And then I'm kind of wrapping up the message by then. My notes hopefully are turned in. Everything's done. I get to Saturday and I've kind of put a bow on it. The message has gone from my paper and my tablet, my iPad, to now it's in my heart. It's gone from my head to my heart, and I can kind of deliver the word. By that time in the day, the end of the day, when I'm done thinking about it and I kind of want to get away from it, there's something therapeutic that my wife and I do. We wash our cars. And that may sound funny, but we've been doing this for years and I'm just so grateful. There's something about a clean car and a fresh haircut and freshly mowed grass on Saturday morning that just makes me feel good, fast, and ready. Can I get an amen? Amen. There's something about that, just stewarding the little things so I can steward something big. Come on, somebody. And so I got the haircut, and then by Saturday, everything's kind of dialed in. Saturday night, I haven't just laid out my clothes, I ironed my clothes. I have starched this shirt last night. Woo, it is sharp. Watch out, don't get cut. A little sharp right here. Don't get too close to me. Little, I feel like I'm an uncle now because I'm 42. I just share with the younger people, iron your clothes. There's somebody in San Marcos that just showed up all wrinkly. It's all good. We love you. God bless you. Welcome to Rock Church. But next time, iron your clothes. If two people come to a job interview and you're 19, 20, 21 or whatever, and you got the same outfit on and the same resume, and this guy's got his outfit ironed and she doesn't have her outfit ironed, or let's say she had it ironed and he doesn't, who am I going to hire? Krispy Kreme, right over here with the crispy Rice Krispie. Just boom, with the iron. Yes, iron your clothes. Come on, somebody. Okay, so I got the haircut. I got the grass cut. We've washed the cars. It's very therapeutic. I got my notes done. I have now starched and pressed my shirt and my clothes, and now I'm driving in on Sunday, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying. I think Deion Sanders said it best. Look good, feel good, feel good, play good. Okay, so here's what I do. I got my stuff ready, so I look good, so I feel good. I'm not thinking about it anymore. Now I pray good, and I pray good so I can preach good. Come on, somebody. I think Bishop T.D. Jakes said it this way. He said, pray yourself hot, study yourself full, and preach yourself empty. And that's what I'm trying to do. It's this process. I got these little steps that I'm doing all the way towards Sunday. It's preparation for what's coming this moment right here. Stay with me. Mark's gospel starts by introducing us to John the Baptist. He had a simple message. The Lord is coming. The Lord is near. So prepare the way for what's ahead. Mark has his introduction to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist has a simple message. The Lord is near. So get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Prepare for what's coming. God's about to do something he's never done before. And if you don't get right with God, you may miss it. So repent and get baptized. But the message isn't really about baptism, even though it's in here, and it's not really about John the Baptist. Mark wants us to understand that John, lean in, that John is the promised forerunner sent to prepare the way for Jesus. I don't want you to miss, John is not the main character. Jesus is the main character. In fact, Jesus is always the main character, whether you make him the character or not. He is and always will be the main thing. That's what this is about. And so the title of my message, if I had a title, would be called Prepare the Way. Prepare the Way. That's why Mark says in Mark 1, verse 2, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. And then he points us to Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 3. And it references this. It says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Isn't that an interesting sentence? And so Mark is saying, I got a messenger who's gonna prepare the way. That's John the Baptist, I get it. But he's pointing to Isaiah, and Isaiah says, yeah, there will be a voice calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And so here's how you understand that if you keep reading Isaiah, that preparation looks like royal construction. Royal road work, because he says, I want you to take the mountains and move them. I want you to bring them low. I want you to get the valleys and lift them. I want you to make crooked roads straight, make the rough places smooth. What, that doesn't even make sense to me. Because if the king is on his way, they would say, hey, there's a mountain in the way. I want you to move it. I want you to get rid of it. Okay, wait a minute. There's a valley and a ditch, but a king is on its way. Guys, we gotta fill the ditch, bring the valley up. There's some debris in the road, and the road's kind of crooked. Make it straight. Make the rough places smooth. Because when the king is coming, you get the road ready. And for us spiritually, Mark is saying, remove every obstacle because the Lord is coming to rule in your life. Get out every obstacle, get out every hurdle. If there's a ditch of sin, fill it with hope and love because the Lord is coming to rule and reign in your life. If there's a hurdle, an obstacle, a mountain of pride, move the mountain. Get it out of the way because the king is coming. He's coming down the road of your life. And that's the main message in this passage. Repent and prepare the way for Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you better repent. You better repent. Turn to your second choice and tell them, you better repent too. You're not getting away. You better repent too. We're all repenting today. Here's the definition of repent. I didn't even bring it with me. I'm just gonna tell it to you. It is that simple. You ready? It means to turn. Everybody say to turn. Turn, that's what it means. Repentance means I turn. I turn from my old struggles. I turn from my old sin. I turn from my old ways. Some of you, I turn from my old woman. Hello, somebody. I turn from my old patterns, I turn from my old addiction, I turn from that old toxic relationship and that situationship thing that I got, I'm trying to hang on. No, I'm turning, I'm repenting, I'm turning from those things toward Jesus. I'm turning from my old life to a new life. And for some of us, I'm turning from my current life towards a new life. Isaiah 55 verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon them. So God forgives my sin, so I repent and I turn toward him. I wrote down this little quick note because I don't want you to get it mixed up and confused about your salvation. And if you came today needing salvation, salvation is free. What is it? It's what?
Free.
I just want to make sure you know what I'm talking about. It's free. And so repentance doesn't earn forgiveness. Jesus purchased forgiveness on the cross. Repentance is how you turn to receive that forgiveness. You tracking with that? I'm going to read it to you because I wrote it down. Repentance doesn't earn forgiveness. Jesus purchased forgiveness on the cross. Repentance is how we turn to receive it. So it's free. I'm saved by grace through faith alone. I don't have to earn that forgiveness. I've been given it by God. He wants to forgive me. But my turning is how I receive that. I turn to receive it and pick it up. It's available. That word repent, though, even though it's powerful, even though that's how we turn to get it, it bothers some people. Even when I said earlier this morning, repent, it has like a heaviness to it. And some of you, when I said, repent, you thought of the person that stands on the street with a sign and it's kind of covered with some crazy stuff and it's huge and they're out there and it's got flames on it and they're out there talking about turn or burn, who's seen those signs? God bless their ministry. I'm not trying to knock their ministry. I'm just saying it's aggressive in my opinion, that's all. They always got the little walkie-talkie that's terrible. And it's just hard to hear. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, enough. I'm gonna leave them alone, I'm sorry. Repent. It sounds heavy, it sounds harsh, it sounds condemning. It makes me feel guilty, but here is the spoiler alert. I'm guilty, and so are you. Scriptures tell us, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so newsflash, we're all guilty, but biblical repentance is deeper than guilt. It's conviction. It's a motivation to clear whatever stands in the way of Jesus becoming king in my life. I wrote this down. Repentance clears the road so the king can rule your heart. If you're a note taker, write that down. I love this line. Repentance clears the road so the king can rule your heart. Here's what the road of repentance looks like, because the Christian life is a daily life of walking on this road of repentance. My salvation happened in a moment, but every day I turn because the world wants to grab me. And you know about that. And so my salvation was secured in a moment by Jesus on the cross. I receive it, thank you God, and I hope if you haven't, you receive him today. But every day is a daily life of repentance for me as a follower of Jesus. Every day, there's something that's trying to pull me back to the world, pull me back to my sin, pull me back to the addictions, pull me back to the toxic ways of life, and I gotta turn towards Jesus. And so the road of repentance looks like a few things. I got 4 points if you want to take notes, write number one down. Number one, repentance transforms my mind. Repentance transforms my mind. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, when that happens, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Somebody say amen. When I was in high school, I graduated in 2002. Dang, that's a long time ago. What? When you say it like that, like my kids, Dad, are you from the 19th century? Well, wait a minute, hold on. Why are you saying it like that? That's weird. As a matter of fact, I am. Graduated in 2002. When I was in high school, I think it was like sophomore year, they introduced foreign languages. How many remember that? They make you pick a language, you know, English. And what did they ask you? You want to take what languages? Spanish, French. Any other ones besides that?
ASL.
What is it?
ASL.
ASL. That's good, yeah. Latin? Dang, that was a private school. Latin? That was, yeah, it's like, they didn't have that at mine. It was like, no, you want some Spanish? What do you want? I chose Spanish. And a lot, you know, my mother's maiden name is Hernandez. My grandfather was Jerry Hernandez. My grandmother is Maria Cristina Hernandez. And in fact, that's my mom's name, Maria Cristina, but she goes by Christina. None of us got Spanish. In fact, my father, or my grandfather, was bullied and was ostracized because of his Spanish. His Spanish wasn't like the other Mexicans because that lived in California, and his English wasn't good, and so there was no Spanish in my parents' household, and so we didn't get Spanish either. So I take Spanish in high school, and I'm thinking, I'm going to learn Spanish. I didn't learn nothing in high school. I didn't learn nothing. And it was confusing when you take it because I thought, okay, here's the English sentences, and let's translate those words in English and into Spanish, and it all makes sense. But here's what I found out. It's backwards, isn't it? It's like backwards, and it doesn't make sense. I even had to write down a little phrase. When you say, I am hungry in Spanish, it's tengo hambre, which translates, I have hunger. I'm like, I don't have it, I am it. Like, get me a sandwich right now, I'm hungry. It just confuses me. It doesn't make sense in my mind. Here's what that means for us spiritually. When your mind has been tuned to the world, Jesus doesn't make sense to you. When your mind has been tuned into the hustle and the ways of the devil and the ways of this world, church doesn't make sense to you. The scriptures don't make sense to you. Worship doesn't make sense to you. Giving, that doesn't make sense at all. None of it makes sense, but when you repent of your sin and you turn, God transforms your mind by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you begin to have this craving for God's word, and you begin to meditate on God's word, and you begin to understand God's ways and his will and his purpose and his plan for your life. That's what happens when I repent. Repentance transforms my mind. Colossians 3 verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. I'm changing my mind, transforming my mind. Repentance transforms my mind when I stop believing my way is better and I start believing the God of heaven is right. Come on, clap your hands. Yeah. Repentance transforms my mind. Here's number two, repentance renews my heart. It transforms my mind and it renews my heart. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 reads, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart, from you, your heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. What in the world is he talking about? I thought I had just a normal heart. I didn't know. Here's the deal. I think you know what it means when your heart has been hardened to the point of a stone. I don't think I have to expand on that. You know, there's some of us who walk around with a hard, hard heart. Anybody work with their hands? Maybe you're a mechanic, or maybe you're a doctor. Maybe you just go to the gym a lot, and so or musicians. This is probably the best example. Musicians, when they play instruments, they will tell you you're going to get some calluses, but the calluses are there for a reason because of the strumming. Any musicians, like a bass player, okay, guy, you know what I'm talking about. You're playing the guitar. I'm pretending like I know what I'm talking about, but you know what I'm talking about. You're strumming the guitar, and calluses will build on your hands because of the pressure and the pain and the pressing and the discomfort. The calluses are there to help you, but watch this. Calluses are helpful on your hands, but they're dangerous on your heart. And when you get calloused heart, sin does that work and forms bitterness and anger and pride, and now you're walking around with the callus of resentment, and my heart is hard. Because of the pain that I've experienced and because of the sin that I've participated in, my heart has been calloused. God wants to take out the hard heart and he wants to put in a new heart. And repentance says, God, forgive me, but also heal me. Make my heart toward you and your people tender again. That's what repentance does. Psalms 51 verse 10 says, create in me a pure heart, Lord. Oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. So Lord, I repent. I don't want the old heart. I want a new, pure heart. Repentance opens my heart to God so he can restore the places that the sin and the brokenness and the burdens and the pain have completely destroyed. So what does repentance do? Number one, repentance transforms my mind. Number two, repentance renews my heart. Here's number three, repentance changes my direction. I like this one a lot. Repentance changes my direction. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, repent then and turn to God. And let's just do it. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Isn't that good that when you repent from your old ways, God doesn't remind you of the old ways? No, he instead refreshes you. Isn't that good? Thank you, God, that you refresh me when I repent. And Acts says, repent then and turn to God. So to repent is to what? To turn, and not in any direction, in his direction. I'm not just going from me to you, even though you're nice and I like you. No, I'm turning from me to him. I'm turning from my direction to his direction. When I drive to school every single day, it takes like 50 minutes to an hour because of the traffic in San Diego. And I'm taking my kids to school. They go to the academy here. And every day, every morning, no matter what, even though I know how to get here pretty well, I break out the Waze app. You ever seen the Waze app? I think that's a pretty good title because it gives you different ways, hello, to get to your destination. But if I'm honest, I've lost a little bit of faith in the Waze app. I have. Because if you've ever closed it out and refresh it, all your old ways are gone and it's giving you new ways. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, how many ways are out there to recommend, and are you giving them the better way? I start questioning, right? I'll pick one, the one that has the fastest time, but because I've done this a lot of times, I still have my way. Come on, somebody. And so I'm going down the fastest route, and how many try to beat the fastest route? 47 minutes? Watch me do it in 43 minutes. Watch out. never do. But I'm looking at the fastest route, but I still want my route, and the whole time I'm going in my direction because I'm so stubborn. It keeps telling me, take the nearest U-turn. Take the nearest U-turn. Take the nearest U-turn. Anybody? Take the nearest U-turn. And because I'm stubborn, the U-turn keeps getting longer and longer. That's a big old 1 mile U-turn. I got to come back. But I just keep going my way and my way and my way. Don't miss this. Repentance is your spiritual U-turn. But I wonder how many of us, because of your stubbornness and my stubbornness, have said, no, I just want my way. How much have you missed because of your way? How many opportunities have you missed or passed by, or God said, I can't because you're on your way? And if you would just repent and turn and get on my way, I could give you all that I have in store for you. Repentance is your spiritual U-turn. I'm not just clearing my road to make more room for Jesus to get on. I'm turning to get on his road, on his road. Luke chapter 3, verse 8 says, prove. Somebody say prove. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. And so Luke says your life proves if you've repented. Woo-hoo-hoo. Let that hit you where it hits you, because that's a real word right there. Luke says, prove it. Matter of fact, I don't even have to ask you. I can just watch you. Your life preaches to you more than we preach to you. You walk around and life preaches at you all day, by the death, by the failures, by the pain, by the disappointment, by the weekend regret, by the negative bank account, by the overspending. There's something that your life is preaching at you that we don't even have to preach to you about. And so Luke says, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. In other words, there should be evidence of a life change. So here's my question for the Christians. If you're not a Christian, I'm so glad you're here today. My prayer is that by the end of our time together, you would decide to become a Christian and follow Jesus with the rest of us. But my question for the Christians, and I'm going to talk to El Cajon, Chula Vista. My question for the Christians is, if I ask the people that know you best, if when you gave your life to Jesus, did anything change in your life, what would they say? If I ask the people that know you best, when you became a Christian, and I like you, you look nice, did anything in your life change when that happened? What would they say? Would they say, oh yeah, they stopped doing, it was all this, they started going boom. Or would they say, I don't know. Not really. They got a little more prideful. They thought they were somebody. But I don't know if anything actually change. Maybe it was just a feeling. I want you to hear this. It's not a feeling. It's not feeling bad for where you've gone. It's turning around and going towards heaven. Turning around towards God. Don't miss this. I wrote this down. Repentance, put that up here. Repentance is not a feeling, it's a turn. Repentance is not a feeling. I feel like it. Or I'm feeling good about it. No, no, no. There's proof that it happened. There's evidence. It's a turn. I turn from lust. I turn from pride. I turn from my sin. I turn towards Jesus. So what does repentance do? Number one, it transforms my mind. Number two, it renews my heart. God wants to take out that heart of stone and put it in a heart of flesh. God, tenderize my heart. Turn me towards heaven. Number three, repentance changes my direction. And number four, it surrenders my future. It surrenders my future. Now, Luke chapter 9, this is my last verse, Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 24. This is Jesus speaking. He says, then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will what? Lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. So if I want to follow Jesus, I repent and surrender control of my future. I stop trying to control my life. I stop trying to grab my life as if it's my plans and it's up to me. I surrender my future to Jesus and say, Lord, not my way, but your way. Any married people at church today? Married people, make some noise. Come on, make some noise. I love being married. When Vanessa and I drive places together, I drive 99.9% of the time. You know, what do you call it? Passenger princess? Is that what it's called? That's her, right there. Bam. Feet up, whatever I want to do. But when we get to the parking lot, for some reason, we both pick out a parking spot. I figured I drove. I pick it. No, we're both picking? Okay. And it's kind of like a game because I'm looking for the closest, and I'm praying for everything, and so I'm like, watch the Lord give us the front row. And sometimes I'll just kind of force it, and I'll get in spots I shouldn't be in, and just like, all right, everybody's got to crawl at the back because it's a little bit tight, but we found it. The Lord blessed us. She wants the quickest one. I want the closest, she wants the quickest one. But because I'm a good husband and because I understand this principle of surrendering my future, in the same way I say, babe, I love you. So not my parking spot, but may your parking spot be done in Jesus' name. I surrender it. The Lord is asking us today, will you repent and surrender your future? Because repentance is not just about what I'm leaving behind, my plans. It's about who I'm trusting with what's ahead. Who am I trusting with what's ahead? Repentance clears the road so King Jesus can rule and reign in your life. Lord, I'm repenting of this relationship. I'm repenting of this person. Come on, clap your hands. I'm leaving this. This is so comfortable. I like this. I know it's bad for me and I'm dying spiritually, emotionally, maybe physically, but I know this, I understand this. But today he's saying, could you let that go and turn towards me? Repentance doesn't mean I'm just letting this go. It means I'm trusting who's in charge of what's ahead of me. That's Jesus Christ. I want to end with this last little Greek word, give you a Greek word of the day, and then we'll pray together. We can put that up on the screen. This is pronounced euthus. Or another variation is euthaos and a different spelling, but the word means immediately at once. Can we all say euthus? Very good. All the campuses together on the count of three, one, two, three. Euthus. Euthus is this word that is used in the gospel according to Mark 42 times plus. Euthus. Because it means immediately at once, immediately at once, immediately he went, immediately, immediately, immediately at once. The word euthus is used more times in Mark chapter 1 than all the other gospels put together. There's an emphasis in Mark. In Mark chapter 1 especially, of immediately at once. And so when Mark writes about this forerunner named John the Baptist and he points to Isaiah to say that he's talking about him. And John's message was simple: repent, be baptized, and prepare the way for the Lord, because the King is coming to rule and reign in your life. He's not saying, think about it. He's not saying, repent next week. Prepare the way next year. It's going to be a good year in 2027. He is saying, immediately, at once, right now, today, in this moment, repent. What's holding you back? Well, I just want to get my life together. You know what I'm saying? I just want to do these things. And talking about, that's like saying, before I go to the gym, I want to get in shape. What are you talking about? I'll go to the gym to get in shape. I go to Jesus to change my life. I don't change my life, then go find Jesus. Now, repent. Be baptized. Today's baptism Sunday. Wow, God did that. God put that together. What are you waiting for? Euthus, immediately, at once, we turn from our old ways, and I turn towards Jesus. I'm preparing the road to make room for the King that wants to rule my life. Why don't you bow your head? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. I pray, God, that right now you would begin to stir the hearts of your people, and immediately we would repent, even now. There's somebody that has something in their life as we begin to reflect. There's an area, there's a person, there's a way of living, there's a relationship, there's something that we need to leave. Let it go and turn towards you, Lord. Repent. Some of us need to get baptized. And while baptism doesn't prepare the way, repentance does. That water baptism today lets everybody know that the King is ruling and reigning in my heart. For many, that's what they're going to do today. But Lord, I pray that you would begin to move right now in someone's heart. And if you're here today at one of our campuses or online and you need to give your life to Jesus, you need to repent, maybe for the first time, or maybe just a recommitment because you've been kind of half in, half out. One foot in Jesus, one foot in the world. But today is a day that you leave the old world behind. I want you to pray this prayer in the quiet of your heart. Just say, dear God, I admit that I'm guilty. I admit that I've fallen short. Today I repent. And I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for securing that on the cross. I believe that you love me and that you died for me. And right now, immediately, in this moment, I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you that you love me. I confess that I love you. Now, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, in a sacred moment, just in a special intimate space, if you prayed that prayer today at any one of our locations or online, I'd love to see your hand go up on the count of three so we can pray for you. Love to encourage you. You prayed that prayer on the count of three. Lift your hand high. One, two, three. Put your hand up. You prayed that prayer. Awesome. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We see you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We see you. God bless you. We see you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God see you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Lord Jesus, thank you for every single life that was just saved in this moment. Thank you for the repentance of our hearts, turning towards the forgiveness that you've offered. Fill them up, Holy Spirit. Change them, make them more like you. Transform their mind, renew their heart, change their direction. They surrender their future right now in this moment. So fill them with your power and fill them with your grace. And for the rest of us, Lord, make us more like you. Speak to us every day. Help us repent towards you, because the Christian life is a daily life of repentance. Thank you, God. We bless you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's thank the Lord, church. Come on. Give God some praise that he and he alone deserves. He's worthy. Hallelujah.